Okay then, Namu Myoho Renge Kyo. Hi everyone, welcome. I hope this video finds you, or this podcast finds you, feeling well, healthy. And let's continue. So far in this Gosho, we have discussed the nature of the Daimoku, how it relates to the teachings of Shakyamuni, to the Lotus Sutra specifically. And as we continue, white horses and white swans, we have learned about the nature of Namu, and we'll now progress into more about the specific parts of the Daimoku and their relationship in our practice, in our invocation, and in their relative merit to the prior teachings of Shakyamuni. So let's get right into it, shall we? The sage known as the great teacher Tendai Chiche wrote about the five characters of Myoho Renge Kyo quite extensively. It was a major part of the Tendai teachings, right? In the 10 volumes and 1,000 pages of his work, The Profound Meaning of the Lotus Sutra. That's a hard set of books to find, but you can find them from a small printing press in India. I think it's Shambhala Press. I'll have to look that up. Not sure. The gist of this work is that the 80 volumes or 60 volumes or 40 volumes of the Flower Garland Sutra, the several hundred volumes of the Agama Sutras, the scores of volumes of the Correct and Equal Great Collection Sutra, the 40 volumes or 600 volumes of the Larger Wisdom Sutra, the 40 volumes or 36 volumes of the Nirvana Sutra, and all the countless sutras in India, in the palaces of the Dragon Kings, in other words, their safe repository of scholarship, in the heavens and in the worlds of the 10 directions, that are as numerous as the dust particles of the land, are all servants and followers of the single character Kyo, or Sutra of Myoho Renge Kyo. So Kyo, in this respect, as Tendai went through great efforts to delineate in all of the scholarship, the entire canon of Buddhist teachings, Kyo represents that entire canon. Not just, as you might hear, it means teaching or sutra, but it collectively means all of the teachings of Shakyamuni in that one character, Kyo. It's important to understand this because as we, you know, people who are unaware will point at the Daimoku like their magic words. But not unlike Nichiren's description of Japan, when we use the word Japan, Japan is not a magic word, nor is the United States of America a magic word, or Canada a magic word, or Korea, or South Korea, or China, or Australia a magic word. It's simply that when we enunciate those words, we are speaking not only of that word, but of everything that that word embraces, encapsulates, contains. So when I use the word Australia, in your mind, you may think kangaroos, people, obviously, the Sydney Opera House, the great deserts, the indigenous people, a didgeridoo, a koala bear, airlines, great competitions of solar-powered vehicles, everything that may, the coral reefs, all of that is contained in the word Australia, right? I mean, that's obvious, isn't it? It's not as obvious to people who are unaware that the word Kyo isn't simply teaching. It's a specific teaching, and it's a specific teaching of all of the teachings of Shakyamuni Buddha. I would say, rather than teaching or sutra for us in the West, we could think of it as Buddhist scholarship. Kyo, all there is to know, kyo, about our Buddhist practice, our invocation of Buddha, and all of that, what that entails, that enlightenment. It's massive. It's not magic. It's a deeper understanding. Yeah, he's going to talk about study again. Well, okay. Moreover, the great teacher Miao Lo wrote a work in 10 volumes entitled The Annotations on, quote, the Profound Meaning of the Lotus Sutra, end quote. So Miao Lo's analysis of Tendai's analysis, in which he declared that all the sutras that were brought to China after the time of Tendai, including the sutras known as the New Translations, are all servants and retainers of the Lotus Sutra. So Miao Lo further clarifies that when we're looking at the entire Buddhist scholarship, all of Shakyamuni's teachings and the great Bodhisattva commentaries on those teachings, all of it is in reference to, in obeyance to, in service of the ultimate teachings, the scholarship of the Lotus Sutra, of the Myoho Renge Kyo. And in Japan, the great teacher Dengyo likewise established that the Mahavacharana Sutra and the other sutras of the True Word School, which are among the new translations, are all servants and retainers of the Lotus Sutra. Kobo, Chikaku, Chisho, and others, however, put forth opinions that were as different from this teaching as fire is from water. I will outline these opinions later in this letter. To illustrate, without a single exception, the five regions around the capital, the seven marshes, the 66 provinces, the two islands, and all the districts, manors, villages, fields, plots, persons, cows and horses, gold, silver, and other things in Japan are all contained within the three characters that make up the words country of Japan. We get it, right? The character king is written with three horizontal lines and one vertical line. The three horizontal lines represent heaven, earth, and humanity. And the single vertical line represents the ruler, the connection, this is why it's done last. It's over all of those things, the ruler. Like Mount Sumeru, which rises up out of the great earth and never sways, one whose presence pervades the realms of heaven, earth, and humanity, and who does not waver in the slightest, is called the ruler. There are always two kinds of rulers, the first kind being the petty rulers, minor sovereigns in the realms of human and heavenly beings who would be considered petty rulers. The second kind are the great rulers. The great heavenly king Brahma would be classified as such. In the case of Japan, the sovereign of the entire country would be considered a great ruler, while the governors of the various provinces would be petty rulers. This is not to say that they are petty. It's a significance of their stature. In the same way, sutras such as those of the Flower Garland, Agama, Correct and Equal, and Wisdom Periods, the Mahavacharana Sutra, the Nirvana Sutra, and all the other sutras preached before, simultaneously with, or after the Lotus Sutra are petty rulers. They are like the governors of the various provinces of Japan. The Lotus Sutra, however, is comparable to a great ruler, a son of heaven. Hence, the people of the Flower Garland School, the True Word School, and the other schools are like the subjects and followers of the ruler of the nation. But when people who in social rank are no more than subjects living in the various provinces attempt to divest the Son of Heaven of his virtue, then it is as if inferiors are overthrowing superiors, as if the people are turning their backs on superiors and heeding inferiors, or as if the inferiors have overcome the superiors and are rioting and creating disturbances. No matter how much one may hope to bring about order in the world under such circumstances, the result will only be confusion within the state and the downfall of the persons involved. One might as well try to move the roots of a tree without disturbing the branches and leaves, or hope that a ship could sail peacefully when the waves of the sea have risen in fury. Though the priests of the Flower Garland, True Word, and Nembutsu schools, as well as those of the precepts and Zen teachings, claim to possess great wisdom and eminence, strictly abiding by the precepts and conducting themselves honestly, their status is that of persons born into families who engage in the overthrow of superiors by inferiors. And as such, they are arch enemies of the Lotus Sutra. They don't respect the proper order of the teachings, and therefore they muddy everything. And what is more detrimental to our enlightenment, our awakening of Buddhahood, than all of these people messing around, muddying the waters and confusing people? Myoho Renge Kyo is very direct, very simple, it is the pinnacle of the teachings of Shakyamuni. Why would we wander around like blind chickens when we can have this clear, direct vision? It's pathetic. And this is what Nichiren is trying to point out. Once again, and some of you have even commented back to me, and I'm glad that it's becoming a meme. The emperor is naked. Stop trying to visualize clothes on him. He's naked. That's a great story, The Emperor's New Clothes. If you've never read it, I urge you to read it because you'll understand a lot of what Nichiren is trying to say to these erroneous schools. He's not saying that there's no value at all to their teachings, other than they are, as Miao Lo, Tendai before him, Dengyo before him, said they are, those teachings are servants to, they are preparatory to, they are not the final, the end all, be all practice of enlightenment. They are steps along the way. And in this latter age, in this time and place in history, we must practice the Myoho Renge Kyo, because it is the pinnacle of all the teachings, and it is specifically taught for us to mirror exactly what Shakyamuni accomplished in his own lifetime. It is the time. Can they hope to escape falling into the great citadel of the Avicii Hell? Among the adherents of the 95 different types of non-Buddhist schools, there were no doubt many who were honest and wise, and yet, because they subscribed to the erroneous doctrines handed down from the two deities and the three ascetics, they could not escape being reborn in the evil paths. So in other words, their lifetimes would continue to be mired in samsaric avarice, attachments, so on and so forth. They would forever be battling these samsaric natures. They could never escape them. That is what the Avicii Hell is, the experience of suffering. In the world today, however, those people who recite Namu Amida Butsu laugh at those who recite Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. You notice we don't chant Namu Shakyamuni Butsu, right? There's no person that we're worshiping here. There is no such thing as worship in real Buddhism. It's a focused attention on our Buddhahood, our enlightenment. There is no thing to worship. There is only a mental condition to awaken. See this, you can hear it right in the Namu Amida Butsu is worshiping. But that's not how Buddhism works. Or try to deceive them. To use secular comparisons, this is like millet disliking rice, or a landowner detesting his own fields. They are like bandits when the leaders of the army are not present, supposing that they will not be punished for their night raids or acts of burglary, or like moles before the sun has come up, believing that they are as safe as they would be underground. But when Namu Myoho Renge Kyo, which is like the leader of an army or like the sun, appears, they disappear as quickly as raging flames vanish under water, or as monkeys cower when they encounter dogs. Today, when the reciters of Namu Amida Butsu hear voices chanting Namu Myoho Renge Kyo, the color drains from their faces and their eyes glare with anger. Their wits desert them, and their bodies begin to quake. The great teacher Dengyo said that when the sun comes up, the stars hide themselves, and that when the true skill appears, clumsiness becomes known. Bodhisattva Nagarjuna stated that erroneous words are easily dismissed, and that mistaken opinions are hard to support. Bodhisattva Gunamati said, quote, "On her face there was the color of death and mourning, and in her words there was the sound of sorrow and resentment," end quote. And Fa Sui said, "Those," quote, "those who were formerly the tigers of assertion are now the deer of assent," end quote. One should consider these opinions and understand their intent. So there's some great stories to look up if you want to expand your understanding of this. I think it's pretty clear, but you're welcome to. It's fascinating. The more you get into study, if you're somebody who likes to dig deeply into scholarship, there are all kinds of wonderful analogies and stories to help understand concepts, right? Let's see where we are. Oh, we're good. Let us openly and clearly outline the virtues of Myoho Renge Kyo. Just as poisonous compounds are changed into medicine, so these five characters of Myoho Renge Kyo change evil into good. Evil being the sufferings of life and their compounding. Good being turning those samsaric conditions into fodder, motivation for awakening. The spring of jewels is also called because in this spring, stones are changed into jewels. In the same way, these five characters can change ordinary human beings into Buddhas. This is our practice. Therefore, because your beloved departed father chanted Namo Myoho Renge Kyo, while he was alive, he was a person who attained Buddhahood in his present form, in the same way that stones change into jewels. The actions you have taken, then, are the very height of filial piety and concern. Therefore, it says in the Lotus Sutra, quote, "These two sons of mine have carried out the Buddha's work," quote, end quote, and also, quote, "These two sons have been good friends to me," end quote. Long ago, there lived a great ruler named King Rinda. Now we get to the white horses and white swans, right? As long as this ruler could listen to the neighing of white horses, his color remained healthy, he had great strength and vigor, and he was satisfied without being offered food. Even his enemies in neighboring countries doffed their helmets and pressed their palms together in admiration. But the white horses neighed only when they caught sight of white swans. And because the ruler's manner of governing was faulty, or perhaps because of some evil karma from his past, you know, energy spent in samsaric endeavors rather than enlightenment endeavors, all the white swans disappeared. With not a single bird left, the white horses no longer neighed. And when complexion faded, when the white horses ceased to neigh, the king's complexion faded. His strength drained away, his body grew thin and withered, and his plans for government became shallow and ineffectual. Soon the nation was in a state of chaos, lamenting over what to do if soldiers from neighboring nations should rush to attack his country in a time of weakness. The king issued a proclamation in which he said, quote, "In our nation, many people follow the non-Buddhist teachings, all of which enjoy our patronage and support. The same is true of the Buddhist teaching. But the non-Buddhists and Buddhists are on bad terms with each other. Now, whichever of these two groups can succeed in making the white horses neigh will have its teaching made the object of our resolute mind and conviction, our resolve. While the others' teachings will be banished from the nation. So using division, he hoped to regain his neighing horses and thus his power, right? At this time, all the new non-Buddhist leaders gathered together and tried their best to make the white swans appear and the white horses neigh, but no swans appeared. Although in the past, leaders had shown themselves capable of causing clouds to form and fog to come rolling in, of calling forth winds and stirring up waves, of bringing forth fire or water from their bodies, of changing men into horses or horses into men, and of performing any acts that they pleased, for some reason on this occasion, they could not make the swans appear. At this time, there was a disciple of the Buddha known as Bodhisattva Ashvaghosha, or Horse Neigh. Here's a convenient name for a bodhisattva in this story. Again, I remind you, these characters are not actual people. They're ideas personified, right? So Bodhisattva Ashvaghosha is a personification of this white horse neighing. An interesting device. It's used constantly. When he prayed or meditated to the Buddhas of the Ten Directions, the white swans immediately came forth, and the white horses began to neigh. When the king heard the sound, his color began to improve somewhat, his strength returned, and his skin took on a fresh look. More white swans appeared, and still more, until 1,000 birds had come forth, and 1,000 white horses neighed at the same time, like cocks crowing at the dawn. When the king heard this sound, his complexion became as bright as the sun, his skin as fresh-looking as the moon, the strength as powerful as the deities Narayana, and his plans for government as sagacious as those of the deity Brahma. So he also gained wisdom, right? Then, because the silken words of the ruler were as irreversible as the outflow of sweat from the body, all the temples belonging to the non-Buddhist leaders were converted into Buddhist temples. The country of Japan today resembles the story of King Rinda. This country began with the era of the deities. As it gradually approached the latter age, however, the views of its people became warped, and greed, anger, and foolishness grew stronger. Sound familiar? The deities became shallow in their understanding, their authority and power waned, and they began to have difficulty extending their protection, even to their devotees. Meanwhile, the teachings of the great doctrine known as Buddhism were introduced to the country and gradually spread. The people once again became honest and straightforward in their outlook, and the deities were restored to power and authority. But many erroneous opinions appeared in connection with the Buddhist beliefs, and because of these, the situation in the country became perilous. I feel like this is story time with Nichiren, right? Remember who he's writing this letter to. The great teacher Dengyo traveled to China and there carried out an investigation into all the various sacred teachings of Japan, China, and India. He discarded those that were inferior and selected those that were worthy, examining each without prejudice or favor. In the end, he singled out the Lotus Sutra and two other sutras, designating them as the three sutras that would ensure the protection of the nation. The Threefold Lotus Sutra, the Immeasurable Meanings, the introduction, often called that, as the preface to the Lotus Sutra, the 28 chapters of the Lotus, and the culminating or the closing sutra on Bodhisattva. It's called different things. I have a lecture series on all of those, chapter by chapter, under the playlist Lotus Lectures, if you're interested. I use five different translations of the Lotus Sutra in those lectures to give as complete a contemporary reading on the Myoho Renge Kyo. So at any time, you're welcome to go check that playlist out. And we're going to go a little bit further here before we close part two. Other sages, however, such as the great teacher Kobo, Jikaku, and Chisho. Now, you understand great teachers is a label of an honorific term that's culturally identifiable with certain teachers. Nichiren isn't saying this guy's a great teacher. He's saying he earned that moniker. So he uses it. I mean, he is Japanese and he's going to follow the cultural habits of the people. Buddhism always teaches to the people's capacity and their cultural realities, right? So this is why there's so many discussions that maybe on face value are not Buddhist, but if you read not the words or invest not so much in the words, but in the meaning of the stories, then all those labels don't amount to any more than a reference to certain personages or people or so on and so forth, right? So he's talking about these teachers and saying they claim to base their ideas on teachings from China or India, proceeding to demote the Lotus Sutra to second or third rank among the sutras. We've heard this many times, right? Declaring it to be a work of a childish theory. He hammers that. That's insulting, right? Or claiming that it belongs to the region of darkness, whatever the hell that is. In place of the Lotus Sutra, they elevated the three sutras of the true word teaching to the position of highest honor. Well, this is obviously wrong. Thousands of years of scholarship show that that's wrong. But this is what they did in order to achieve political power and popularity. And the people just went along with it because they're not as educated as these great teachers, right? Thus, the age gradually became one in which inferiors overthrow superiors, and these mistaken doctrines spread throughout the entire country. Hence, many people have fallen into the evil paths and or lower worlds, and the deities have little by little lost their authority because logic has left the country. Again, finding it difficult to protect even their own devotees. As a result, we see that the five rulers of the nation, from the 81st to the 85th sovereign, either drowned in a Western Ocean or were abandoned on islands in the four seas. They were treated like demons while they were alive, and after their demise, they fell into the hell of incessant suffering. Their demise being their demise of power. So now they're just not even ordinary mortals, but people who are treated as though they were lepers, right? However, because there was no one who understood this situation, it has been impossible to remedy it. I am generally aware of these matters and therefore try to repay the debt of gratitude I owe my own country by speaking the truth. The emperor is naked, but people only hate me for it. They don't want to be corrected. They don't want to be shown to be, I've been an idiot all this time. Don't say that out loud, right? I've been misled, maybe even more embarrassing, right? I fell under the spell of this great teacher, and I bought it. I bought it wholesale. I'm a fool. You should be able to be humble and accept when you've made an error. But this is not our human nature, is it? But I will say no more about that. Instead, I would like to say that your beloved father is comparable to King Rinda, and you yourself are comparable to Bodhisattva Ashvaghosha. What a wonderful compliment to make this woman who lost her father and now sees herself alone to raise her children and her family, and has done so much to support Nichiren's activities, right? Sending her son. The white swans are the Lotus Sutra, and the white horses are Nichiren. So as we study Myoho Renge Kyo, we gladden the hearts of Nichiren. This is what he's saying. And the neighing of the white horses is the sound of Namu Myoho Renge Kyo. And so in the same way that when King Rinda hears the sounds of the horses, his complexion brightens and his strength increases, when your beloved deceased father hears the sounds of your voice chanting Namu Myoho Renge Kyo, he will delight in his Buddhahood. So that's a wonderful thing to give this dutiful daughter, this mother, this woman, this practitioner, right? Nichiren, the 14th day of the 8th month in the 3rd year of Koan, 1280. And he says, reply to the lady of Utsubusa. So very often, as you've noticed in these Gosho, or whenever writing a letter, I think it was good form when writing a communication to somebody, to honor not only them, but there's this filial connection within all of Japanese society. And so even the area one is from is considered part of one's identity, if you will. But there you have it. Lots of information on the storied, encapsulating teaching of Myoho Renge Kyo, and some insights. And a lot of it we've heard before in different ways, but Nichiren uses it here as another teaching moment on Namu and the word Kyo, and where the entire Daimoku is not magic words, but a representation of the entirety of Shakyamuni's teaching and the scholarship of that teaching throughout time. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo, thank you so much for participating, listening. Don't forget you can download these as audio podcasts wherever you get your podcasts. Remember, the Buddhahood podcast. And please take care of your health. We're in a worldwide pandemic still, so I urge you, and be kind to those who may not understand, and stay strong in your practice. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. Thanks again. I'll see you in the next one. Bye-bye. Hey, thank you for being here. Did you know there's a third way you can help support this channel, and it won't cost you a cent? Yep. If you are not able to be a patron on Patreon or use the PayPal me at .com at Sifu Sylvain because you don't have the financial fortune to help support this channel right now, you, as I say, always support this channel by watching. But you can also help us grow so that maybe one day we can get over 10,000 subscribers and YouTube will grace us with monetization. It's not a lot, but if you can make sure you're subscribed and share a video like a simple one, just go into the search criteria and type monk and you'll have a video that'll come up that's been up for years about what is a monk. You know, it's called a monk, who, how, where, something like that. That might be a great introduction to somebody who doesn't understand what a monk is to begin with. It's a tool. Use this channel as a tool to help you with your bodhisattva practice and share a video to somebody who you think, oh, I know somebody who'll benefit from watching this. And in that way, you can help us grow. And that's a really good way to help your practice along as well. So just wanted to drop that in on you in case that's something that you might find useful. Take care of yourself again, and I'll see you soon. Bye.